our EIS scoping meeting. Wanted to walk through some introductory kind of ground rules for the meeting here, and then I'll break into introductions. Next slide, please. So tonight is really all about your participation in the environmental impact statement process. And we're here to receive your comments on the scope and direction for the study that we're undertaking for University of Nations at Kona. So we will have a comment section. This meeting is being recorded. So we'll have a record of the presentation and the comments at the end, which are very important. So please hold your comments to the end. We will instruct you on how we'll invite you in to speak and go through a process, but we'll ask that you remain muted throughout the presentation. Thank you on that. So seeing about 10 folks in the room here, we'll jump off. And if you could unmute Paul, and I'll introduce our representative from University of Nations, Paul Childers.
Hi, Jeff.
Maybe some opening remarks, Paul, if you could, on just kind of University of Nations and your space in the community here, the good things that you folks are doing.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for that, Jeff. And want to welcome everyone here to the scoping meeting. As Jeff said, my name is Paul Childers, and I'm with the executive team and the chief operating officer here at the University of the Nations, Kona. And we're so grateful to actually be able to come to this season and this time where we can look forward towards expanding the work that we do here on this property and also in YWAM and Kona and West Hawaii as well. We've been here for 40 years. It's pretty amazing to sort of realize that. And we have so enjoyed being a part of the West Hawaii community. And our young people are very often around town serving in all sorts of different capacities, from working at the harbor to doing all sorts of things, tending taro fields, involved in local churches, as well as a whole host of other things for the county, as well as local, as well as even the high school, Kalakehe, over many, many years. So we're just so blessed to be able to be a part of this community. And we look forward to the future where we can expand our service and our engagement in the community. And so, yeah, thanks everyone for coming. We're grateful that you're here, and we look forward to getting the comments and thoughts and ideas and that you have regarding the scope and direction of this project.
Thank you very much, Paul. That's great, great opening. Appreciate it. Again, my name is Jeff Overton, and I'm here with Kira Ramos at G70, and we're the consultants for the planning, architecture, and environmental studies and engineering that we're blessed to be working with University of Nations Kona on their master plan for expansion. And so we're going to walk through a presentation that might take us maybe 15 minutes tops, 20 minutes, and give you kind of a briefing on the project and the EIS process that's ahead here. So next slide, please. Those of you that have participated in the EIS process are probably well-versed in the various steps and the EIS process. Under the relatively new rules, requires a public scoping meeting that we're holding here tonight, which if it was not the COVID-19 pandemic, we'd be in person in Kona enjoying this space together. And unfortunately, we're still needing to do this in a virtual frame. But this is still an excellent opportunity for education about what the master plan is proposing and to receive your comments. So the purpose of this public scoping meeting is to gain public feedback on this proposed action and the alternatives that are to be analyzed in the EIS and impacts to focus on in this environmental impact statement. Next slide, please. So here's a couple of location maps that show the position of the campus. roughly a mile and a half, 2 miles south of Kailua Kona center of town. Again, as Paul had said, over 40 years of the campus existing in its present location between Kuakini Highway on the Makai side and Hualalai Road on the Mauka side. So you can see it outlined here in the white boundary, the existing campus and the buildings that exist there. And then in yellow is the 62-acre expansion area that was urbanized by the State Land Use Commission back in 2003. You can see the adjoining Kona Hillcrest subdivision and some of the open lands and resort lands along the Makai side of the property in there. So that's your setting for where we're located. Next slide, please. The 2020 master plan for U of N Kona is reflects really their current and upcoming mission-based learning priorities for its campus over the next 20 plus years. So it's very exciting. They're looking at developing an integrated campus community that has new instructional buildings, new dormitories, new athletic facilities in a design and landscape setting that's very reflective of this gorgeous Kona setting here with sustainable design elements throughout the project. And much of this will involve the entrances and arrival areas, the central gathering spaces, the outdoor courtyards and pathways through the campus, and also very importantly, preserved cultural archaeological sites on the property, paying attention to all that. Next slide. So here's an aerial view of the master plan, and I'll walk you through this briefly. You can see on the left-hand side of the image where the existing site, roughly 45 acres, is kind of grayed out. And this is all the existing roadways and the campus instructional buildings, dormitories, and facilities supporting the existing campus, which is, you know, very much active now and maybe bursting at the seams during our normal campus times where the need to expand is tremendous now. And so the effort is to look forward to the next 20 years. We've got a phased approach for the expansion onto the 62-acre area. And we've colored this up really in three phases, the yellow being the first phase, 5 to 10 years, and going from Makai, the lower school, there's plans for elementary, middle, and high school component in this master plan. So the beginning of it with an elementary school in the lower section, some instructional buildings and a resource center in the center with a chapel and gathering place and some dormitories added in here. The athletic facilities, excuse me, beginning to be built out in the center. And then in the Mauka section, some storage agricultural exhibits in the upper section. Also the backbone infrastructure, the roadways, water, sewer lines, electric, all of that needs to come in the beginning phase. The second phase of development, which is more in the 10 to 20 year horizon, would be the fuller completion of the lower school. So you can see down at the bottom, the elementary school, the middle school, the high school, now really being filled out and those components in there. In the center portion of the expansion area, many more dormitories in there, a youth camp, at the athletic facilities, all the courts and fields being built out in this midterm phase, and also more of the storage utility elements in the upper section towards Queen Kahumanu Highway. And then finally, a complete build out would involve the remainder of the dormitories, completion of the high school section, cafe and other elements that would support the full build out of the campus. Importantly, the archaeological preserve areas are already preserved in our current form now and would be enhanced by buffers and such in the very first phase of the project. So that gives you kind of a high level view of how the project is proposed 20 years here, this master plan. Next slide. Yeah, here's a great view. This is an aerial perspective of the central gathering area of the campus, the pico of the campus, which is tied together by a series of pathways that extend throughout the campus and following the natural features of this hillside setting in here. This would include, of course, a chapel, cascading pools of water that are attached to this, as well as a kind of a natural amphitheater setting for gatherings on this hillside here, surrounded by instructional buildings, as well as the student service center, gathering place for students on the campus, and the dormitories that would wrap around the periphery. So you can see it's a very connected campus and reflects the kind of setting of Kona in terms of an arid landscape, so that we're not overdoing it. We're using plants that are less thirsty in here and really keeping with the context and character of the Kona setting. The archaeological areas, if you could point those out, please, Kira, these two preserve areas that are located, you can see on the edges here. So again, broad setbacks and buffers from those existing archaeological features. There'll be many more exhibits such as this and the detailed plans that are depicted in the draft EIS upcoming. Next slide. Now, an environmental impact statement, and if you've ever enjoyed reading an EIS, I'm sure it's been very enriching for you. They're quite thick, and we have a lot of studies that go into them. And for the draft EIS that we're working on, we'll spend a lot of time assessing the existing conditions, potential impacts, and mitigation measures. So things in the natural environment, such as geology, topography, soils, surface runoff areas, groundwater resources, archaeological and historic resources, cultural resources. As well, we need to deal with, we'll also be assessing biological character of the property, flora, fauna. Then for the, it's kind of the man-made human environment, we deal with infrastructure issues of drainage, water supply, wastewater, roadways, traffic and mobility, economic, and then also looking at visual resources in the view context of the property. Next slide. Excuse me. Now, we are commissioning some detailed technical studies for the draft EIS, and these are specific subject matter experts that are commissioned to dig deeper and provide more detailed analysis of important subjects for the EIS. And these technical studies will help us analyze the resources of the project area, project impacts, potential, and then recommend implementation of certain mitigation measures. For the flora fauna, we'll have a full biological natural resources survey. We will be looking at the traffic, of course, which is a very important consideration here, the surrounding roadways in the community. And we call it a traffic mobility analysis because it involves pedestrians, bicyclists as well, multimodal. The infrastructure supporting the campus is going to be assessed by G70 civil engineering team. That's all the water supply, the drainage, the wastewater issues, all of the factors that need to go into the development of a 62-acre campus expansion. Water supply will be evaluated. And then we will be going through detailed archaeological studies and preservation plan for the property, as mentioned previously, and importantly, a cultural impact assessment that's being done to look at important traditional properties here. Next slide. Another important part of the EIS process is alternatives. And under the EIS rules, we are required to do a proper analysis of alternatives to the proposed action. So that could include something as simple as the no action alternative, which means do nothing. Basically, things stay the same. That is a required alternative for the EIS study. We also will look at alternative development density the scale and scope of development as one alternative, alternative land use potential under another alternative, and then the potential for deferral of the proposed action would be another alternative that we would study in the EIS alternative section. Next slide. Also important in the EIS process is an evaluation of the consistency of this project with state and county land use policies and plans, long-range plans for the area. So on the state side, we've got kind of broad-reaching plans such as the Hawaii State Plan, Hawaii State Functional Plans, the state land use district boundaries, and the coastal zone management program. At the county level, more specific to West Hawaii, the County of Hawaii General Plan, zoning districts of the property and surrounding area, the water use and development plan the county has put together, and also the Kona Community Development Plan and the Kailua Kona Master Plan that get much more specific to the region here where the project's coming in. So we have to address all consistency of the project with all of these plans. Next slide. Okay, well, really what we're here for tonight and is to hear from you folks. And we hope that you've had a chance to download this environmental impact statement preparation notice. It's available through a link that we show here on this page. If you'd like to take a screenshot of this page, and that'll give you all the correct information on how to get these documents. If you haven't seen it, it is available on the Office of Environmental Quality Control website for direct download, and doesn't take too long with a broadband connection. It's a fairly short read, and it gives you kind of a good high level picture of the project, much more detailed than what we're able to present here tonight. We have this document published back in early March, and there's a 30-day comment period on what we call the prep notice, the EIS preparation notice. The deadline for comments to be sent on the EIS prep notice is April 7th. So it's coming up pretty soon. You've got a little time, about 10 days or so, to put together comments, but it's pretty simple for you to provide comments. And we're asking for your comments. That's the whole purpose of this process, is your involvement in the EIS review, and this is the scoping phase. So traditionally people would write a letter and mail a letter in, and this is our mailing address here, G70 to my attention, Jeff Overton at 111 South King Street, Suite 170 in Honolulu, 96813. A lot of people don't write letters anymore. I kind of miss those letters. But you can actually send me a letter via email, and maybe a lot easier and faster these days to just put a letter in the mail, in the email. And this is the email address that we've set up for the project. It's called uofnkona@g70.design. That's an important and easy way for you to get comments to us. It doesn't have to be a formal letter, but we really would appreciate if you are sending an email. We do need some way of getting back in touch with you. So an email address is fine, or if you wanna also give your physical mailing address, telephone number, that's all helpful. It's up to you, but we do need some identifier and some way to respond to comments that you provide to us. So we'd appreciate that when you send an email, that'd be great. Tonight, we're recording the meeting, as we said earlier, and we will have a chance for you to speak here shortly to provide your comments. We want to hear from you. You know, this is not a public hearing or like a commission meeting where we're going to do a full question and answer kind of setting. It's more to receive your input, and we will take that and use that to help shape the scope and study. We're obligated to put the essence of your comments into the documentation. As well, a recording of this is going to the state OEQC in the process. So we're gonna move ahead. Everybody have a chance to take a screenshot if you'd like now, and you'll have this information and we can pop back to it if need be. Okay, let's head on towards our comment phase here. So we're about ready to hear from you. Here's some guidance on scoping comments, and the Hawaii administrative rules spell this out at 11200.1. This part of the meeting is for participants to comment directly on the scope and direction of the CIS. And even though it's a virtual meeting, here we have a chance for your oral comments pertaining to this scope to be recorded. So what we're going to do, I see we've got roughly a dozen participants in the meeting here. And so we'll have a chance to have a, you have your thoughts heard. If we have 50 people here, I'd say let's really be respectful of each other's time here. But I think because we have time here for scheduled, you'll have some time to give your thoughts. What we'll do is ask you to type the number one into the chat or message box function, and that we will call your name out and do it in order as these are entered in here. And then as we call you up, we'll ask for you to unmute yourself, or Kira will actually, at the controls here, she'll be able to unmute you. We'll ask that you speak clearly so we can understand your words and the recording comes through. State your name, please, and where you live. That would be very helpful if you feel comfortable. Everybody's gonna have a chance to speak, and we'll ask that you be respectful. We've got some time here to go through it. So we're about ready to open it up here. I think that's great. So if anybody wants to provide oral comments here, this would be the time. If you could just, this chat button is down at the bottom of the screen, right? And you can see the little bubble that has a little arrow on it, says chat. So that's the one you want to open up, and that'll create a little window for you to type into. And that's where you would say, I want to give a comment, and then we'll open it up. Okay. Okay, so who's our first speaker here? All right, looks like it's Kathleen Hewlin. Kathleen, welcome. And your turn here, go ahead.
Hi. Hey. Okay. So what type of setback are will there be on the boundaries here? So I live like right up against your boundary.
Very good. Welcome neighbor, I would say. Yeah. And I can understand this. So again, we will be putting a lot of detailed information out in the draft EIS. We have setbacks that are set in the zoning and such, so that the we have to observe all those setback standards. I don't have a specific number for you because our design plans, frankly, are in the works. The plan that you saw is a preliminary concept. We're going to have a greater level of information in the draft EIS. I don't know if you had a chance to download the notice of preparation of EIS, but that master plan exhibit that's in there shows that the buildings do respect a setback along that boundary. There's going to be a wall or fence line along that side of the property, as well as a internal kind of fire break circulation road edge along that. But in terms of a specific distance, I can't say right here tonight, 50 feet, 75 feet, but we will have to respect county setback requirements as well as our neighbor's privacy. I think that's important to the university.
Okay. I mean, because my wall is only 4 feet. So, that's not going to cut it with the plans that you guys have going on. As far as visually, as well as with the noise. So I was just wondering, what's the plans for that?
What I heard, if I could try to repeat the points you've raised here is that your privacy is a concern, that yeah. you want to be sure that the buildings are not built too close to neighbors such as yours, that we have setbacks, that during the construction phase, we take care of things like dust and noise as appropriately. It's hard to do construction without noise, but that would be something we'd need to pay attention to. And there's certain rules about how, you know, construction is performed, as well long-term, whether there would be a wall dividing here, landscaping. I know there's going to be landscaping elements that are put in here to work on buffers, but I think you raise a good question, and it's a perfect example of a great comment for the EIS. What are the setbacks? How are we addressing views from neighbors? And also noise conditions, both construction noise and long-term operational noise. I was a college student once, so I would think noise would be a concern if I lived next door. It's a fair question.
Okay.
Any other comments you'd like to share?
But I'll let other people. The only thing is that when would this be out? Like, as far as, you know, what's being taken in tonight, as far as the questions, when will the answers be out? Will there be another meeting, or will it be in publication?
Thank you. Oh, those are both good questions. And the answer to both is yes, there will definitely be more meetings in the future. In the EIS process, this is the only official meeting that the state requires under the rules. I think because U of Ancona is a good member of the community here, I think they'd want to be sure they're transparent in their future planning, and that there would be another meeting. I'd say it would be great if we could hold a session once the draft EIS is published. The timetable for that document, which is going to be, you know, quite detailed in terms of the level of information, it will probably address a lot of the questions, or at least give you more information on the subjects you've raised. We don't have a specific date for publication. We're hoping for later this year to have that EIS out. We have a lot of work to do to get that done. What we could do is, when you provide your information to us through email or a letter to us or however, we would pass this on to University of Nations. And I think they too would want to stay in touch with you and be sure that you're communicated with during this process, Kathleen.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. You can stick around if you got more questions. That's great. We'll offer it up to the next person who'd like to comment. If you could just let us know in the chat function.
I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear.
It's hard to figure out how to work these things. My name is Kathy Kuikahi. I live right above, right adjacent to you also. We went through this with Mark Spangler when he was with the University of the Nations back in 2003, I think it was. Mark made some promises on behalf of the university to the residents here in Hillcrest Subdivision along the boundary line, that the university would provide a stone wall replacement, because one we have here is a dry stack, that it would be replaced, and that all buildings would be set back away for the privacy of the residents here. I'm hoping that that's still in the old notes someplace, because we're hoping that his word was good for anyone dealing with the University of the Nations now. The noise control that most of us are concerned about is like until the pandemic hit and the University of Nations would have various meetings on their campus, at the current campus, we could hear them very, very loudly, clear over here in Hillcrest Subdivision. So Are you going to see to it that kind of noise does not come out into the neighborhood when you build this new section?
Thank you, Kathy, for those questions. And we're hearing a common theme here from the neighbors, which is excellent. In terms of, and again, I probably not using this venue to give detailed answers to these, because we're again trying to identify scope of work questions, but there is, as far as I know, plan for a wall along that edge, and the specific design and height of that and things will spell out in there. You know, there are limits on how tall walls can be built within code without building variances, getting variances and such, but from everything I've heard, there's a wall that's being planned in this to follow through with that commitment as well. Setbacks of the buildings, as was described earlier with Kathleen in the previous comment. So these would be very important concerns of mine if I was living next door to a university. I think they're very fair questions. And the noise question. So if I could ask a clarifying question, was that noise from the existing campus or was that noise from somewhere in the undeveloped 62 acre? Is that
well, question? The noise that has been going on in the past is from the existing campus and has the long field in between Hillcrest and the current campus. The large building that was built there is all open. So when you have the meetings and the speakers that are very, very loud, just echo in through all of our homes over here. And that's quite the distance away. So if you're talking about having open buildings in the new section, I think we're gonna have the same situation, but it's gonna be even three times the loudness, the volume of noise is gonna come into our homes. There's got to be a way that we can be good neighbors and have you folks have your meetings, but to be able to tone it down, because the noise does carry into the subdivision. It's very disturbing if we're trying to hold our own family meetings or watch television, have quiet time, and to listen to the neighbors go on and on and very loudly. It's very disturbing.
Very good. Okay. Well, I think we have a good handle on those comments here. Again, we are going to welcome you to go ahead and email us a comment or send us a letter on this, but these comments are recorded. And from what I'm taking, you've asked about the wall, you've asked about comments about setbacks of the buildings, noise, and are you talking daytime noise or is it evening noise as well?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Yeah.
Very good. And I think, you know, with the design of the new buildings, there may be opportunities to, you know, pay attention to this and look at the considerations with neighbors and how things can be positioned to hopefully mitigate that. I think it'd be unfair for me to say there'll be no noise from this new campus. I think that's just not possible. But, you know, this idea of expansion of the campus has been around for quite a while. And things are now moving forward with the process. So we're really glad you're here to talk with us about it. And again, having your information so that the U of N Kona people can be in touch with you and you know, open up this dialogue. I think that's their intention, is to have an open dialogue on this. I hope that addressed your question for now.
That part, yes. Now, what about the roads? You know, this is going to put a big load onto Hualalai Road and Kuakini, being the two boundary roads there. And at the top end, Hualalai goes right into Queen Kahumano Highway, and that's a really bad intersection as it is. These roads, neither one, are set up for more traffic. It's already over traffic at the time. So what are you going to be doing to help control the traffic in those areas on those two roads?
Thank you. That's another, I'd say, primary concern of the technical studies. And as you saw earlier in the presentation, we are commissioning a very specific traffic study to look specifically at these pinch points where we understand there's already, you know, existing traffic congestion. Some of the long-awaited improvements to the roadway system are, you know, still on the books but haven't been realized. So over the course of the development of this 20-year master plan, there would be some consideration of some of those projects actually coming online. But the university does need to address traffic and how to deal with the entrances. We do know that many of the students will hopefully be living on campus, as well as faculty. We have faculty that will be able to live on campus. So some of that, as well as sort of mobility options for bringing students back and forth without putting new cars on the road, shuttles and such, whether they're able to walk or bike or get to the campus if they're not living on campus. So we're looking at all of the sort of traffic transportation concerns that you've raised here. And again, it would be unrealistic to say there won't be more traffic. There definitely would be some more cars and deliveries and such associated with the university, but we need to meet both the county and the state requirements for traffic flow at these locations. And if there are improvements needed to say add a turning lane at an intersection where the entrance is, then the University of Nations will have to complete those improvements. That's what we're talking about, the mitigation. So yeah. I've probably said more than I should here for a scoping meeting, but that's logically, you know, a very fair question to ask, and we will have a traffic study that you'll have a chance to review and look at these improvements.
Well, back when this was first coming up, well, not first, but working with Mark on this, the county was going to require a Malcolm Mackay connector from Kuakini up through the complex there to Hololai. And Mark reached out to the people here in Hillcrest to help try to get that part changed because of the unsafe positioning of this road. And we did, and we're able to get the county to come out and look at the site, the location, and realize that it was not a safe location to put in a Malcolm Mackay connector. So, you know, we're hoping that now with new people there at University of Nations that you will continue to work with us, because we did, we were good neighbors back then, and helped out to keep a Malcolm Mackay connector from going straight through your properties. But we do have a lot of concerns about safety issues, traffic issues, noise issues. So, yeah. We really need to be kept in the loop because we didn't know about this, any of this until the other day when the newspaper came out with it.
Right. Yeah. The West Hawaii Today article. So that was good. That got people's attention. And
but it should have been put out a long time ago because we had no chance until then to know anything about this. It's like kept a secret as far as the public is concerned because we work and we don't have time to run around reading the county websites right. When I was to what's going on.
Okay. Well, we're glad you made it. That's great. I think you've had your comments received here, and you know, we're glad to
thank you
to hear from you or other neighbors as we go forward here. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
Well, I see several other folks attending here. Is there another person who'd like to give a comment? I see a few people logged in here. Ryan Quito Riano, HDWS, Mailani, others on here. So if you're interested in commenting tonight, if not, that's fine. Just chance to get information. Couple of phone numbers in here. I think one of these is ours from our team. Okay, and also Kathleen or Kathy, you can also raise your hand again if you've got a new comment you'd like to offer in here. But, this works a lot better when we're all in a room together. By the way, I really enjoy that much more, but I'm super glad that you're attending.
I was just going to say that since I have the email address, I'm just going to add everything else in there, my questions in there.
That's fine. That would be very helpful.
Yeah, because I need to get off in a few minutes because I have a Zoom with my class. So.
Okay. If you have a chance, I don't know if you've had a chance to get a copy of the preparation notice. It's about 50 pages or so. It's pretty easy read. So if you got that download link that we had on the other page, I think it would help give you more background.
Okay. I just wanted to read, what Kathy was saying about getting the notice beforehand. So, I mean, obviously the plans have been made. It's a go, correct?
Well, we have to go through a process. When you say the plans are a go, the EIS is in preparation. We need to go, the University of Nations Kona needs to go through multiple steps with both the state and the county before they can actually build this expansion area. So in terms of a go, they're very helpful. This project is a green light on their side, but we still have well over a year of work ahead before they could even contemplate any kind of construction there, except for maintaining, protecting the property.
Okay. Okay. So I mean,
not tomorrow. Because,
okay. So because, as like by looking at the plans and all the visual aids that you presented tonight, just only being able to hear about it through the newspaper instead of, individual mail outs, like how we did before, like what Kathy was talking about. Mm-hmm. Does it really matter or is it going to make a difference as far as us being neighbors and what we're concerned about?
Well, I think this would be a good time. I think Paul is here tonight. I don't want him to necessarily give you, answers that are specific design commitments, but he could probably give you a good perspective from the university side here. Paul?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. And thank you so much for your comments, Kathy. That's really helpful. We actually had really planned to do a full engagement with the Hillcrest community about a year ago as we really started to engage in this. But then when the pandemic hit, everything kind of went on Zoom and virtual. And so there was just this, season where it's been a little awkward to know how to move forward. And this particular EIS, the necessity to do this just came up in the last months. So our heart is absolutely to engage with all of our neighbors, also with on all boundaries. And so I would expect that we will be very much engaged with soliciting your very helpful thoughts and comments and ideas as we walk this together so that it's beneficial. And this is really the heart of why we want to do these developments for the West Hawaii community, our neighbors, as well as our mission around the world. So we do want to work and walk this program out together. So, and I believe that, and I'm grateful for this process. It also enables us to see those steps forward on what we need to do as well.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul. So to answer the question, would there be another meeting? We don't have a scheduled meeting at this time or a neighbor engagement. I know that the pace of the vaccine rollout and the distancing and such, we would hope that later this year, we would actually be able to gather in person for this kind of a meeting, which would allow us to be face to face and hear your concerns directly. Maybe more of your neighbors could attend. We could pick a time that's convenient that would work for all parties and get into some of these details. No, this is not happening overnight. There's likely over a year of process ahead and more reports, more meetings, and if you've been through a building permit process with the county, you know how long that takes. So it's probably much more than a year before any kind of real work could ever happen, and more formal kind of hearings before the county at the Planning Commission to make the approvals to go ahead with the project. And they will be acutely concerned, aware, want to hear about neighbors and how we're addressing neighbor concerns as well as regional concerns. So very glad that you attended here tonight and shared these thoughts.
Okay.
Anyone else like to offer comments tonight? Somebody called in a hurry last night. I got a call from one of the government people and they said, "What time is your meeting?" And I said, "Oh, no, it's not tonight. It's tomorrow night. It's Thursday night." So hopefully that person, whoever it was, I didn't get to speak to them directly, but hopefully they're attending here tonight. So sorry for any confusion that's out there. Did we miss anything in our presentation? Was there something that somebody wants to bring up? I see another hand up, Kathy.
Okay, yeah. The people in the neighborhood here had no idea about this particular meeting being on here tonight, because not everybody gets the newspaper. Right. So no one, because I put it on my Facebook page, the link on it, and nobody knew anything about it. The few people that are in the subdivision that are on my Facebook had no idea. So the few people that are on here right now, I think, are mostly your people and not residents, because they're not speaking up. And I'm concerned that more people are not being given the opportunity to talk. And with the deadline coming up in another week and a half, unless you went personally door to door to let them know what was going on, no one here has a chance to give their feelings or their input on this study.
Well, it's really important that you're here. If there's a single point of contact that would help disseminate information for the Cone Hillcrest subdivision or the community, if you have a community association, kind of grapevine, no, okay.
No, we don't have an association here, and the majority of the people either are quite elderly or we work full time outside the home.
Yeah. I can understand that. I mean, it is why, we try to get the information out to the public.
But you didn't. Sources. You didn't. You didn't. Yeah. You, that's one thing you guys failed there. You did not get the information. Now, you could have done a mailer. You could have someone walk through the subdivision and put it on everybody's doorstep. But you didn't. You didn't take the time to come out and notify the neighbors.
Well, that's really good advice for the next meeting. To have that again, we're doing an EIS scoping process here, which is.
But your deadline is April 7th. How are you going to get everybody to make a comment between now and April 7th?
Well, it's actually been out published since March 8th.
Where? Published where?
In the, this is the state's clearinghouse for environmental documents.
And so I work full time and I have three handicapped children at home. When do I have time to go online to look at these listings in the state pages?
Yeah, it's a challenge these days.
So you need to contact, you need to take that time to say, you want our input. You need to take the time to have someone come out and let us know. Put a notification in the paper ahead of time. Come out and do a letter, write a letter to all of us here in the subdivision so we know what's going on. Because we didn't know. This would have gone straight past me if I hadn't seen it in the newspaper.
Well, we're glad you attended. Thank you.
I think more people need to have attended, but didn't know about this. So publishing it on the state's webpage is nothing because these people don't know where the state web pages are. And I don't have time to go look it up. Kathleen doesn't have time to look it up. My neighbors don't have. You need to be the one to come out to be the good neighbor and let us know about it.
Fortunately, we're very early in the process.
Deadline in a week and a half?
So this is not the last time that folks will have a chance to comment on this project. When the draft EIS comes out, there's a 45-day review period at that point. So I think you've heightened our attention to the need to broadcast this within the neighboring community. The state does not require us to do door-to-door contacts or such. So we go to the newspapers and such to alert them to this, as you know, we do that across the state. But apologize if not enough people heard about it. We do have time.
Nobody did.
Yeah. And if a comment came in on April 8th or April 10th, that doesn't mean we will ignore it. We're basically pulling together, like you've helped us, very, very grateful that you've helped us pay attention to some very specific issues the neighbors are concerned about. So, those all get addressed.
There's 100 homes inside this subdivision. There's two of us that I know of online right now. That's how many people did not know about this.
Are there different comments that they might have that would help us?
Most likely. Yeah. They could have more. They have the same. I don't know. But they're not given the opportunity because they don't know about it. So please be the good neighbor that you guys claim to be and get the information out to everyone in the subdivision. So everyone in the subdivision who is going to be impacted by this has the opportunity to voice their opinion and have their input. Is that possible?
Yeah, well, we will actually work with, I'm sure there's an outreach element to Paul's organization that would help us again, putting a flyer out. Ideally, it would be great if there was a central information point for the neighborhood.
This is an old neighborhood. This neighborhood was built way, way back, early, early time in Kailua Kona. It's one of the oldest subdivisions here. So we don't have any of that. And most of these homes inside here are owner occupied.
Well, we'll discuss this with the university and come up with a plan for some outreach ahead of the next meeting. So I think you raised an excellent point.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I have children now that's crying. I need to go take care of.
Oh, thanks for joining us. I understand how busy things do. Thanks for joining us and appreciate all your input. Look forward to talking again.
Yes, thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to offer a comment tonight? We're about an hour into our schedule here. We've got time here together. If you'd like to share a thought that either reinforces or it's a new comment that hasn't been brought up yet. Because we scheduled the meeting in the news or in the as well as the bulletin, the Office of Environmental Quality Control report, we scheduled the meeting. It said 6 to 8 o'clock, And so we are going to stick around until 8 o'clock. Doesn't mean you have to stick around till 8 o'clock, but we want to make sure that if somebody dials in at 7:30, that we don't miss them. So we're going to stay connected here. We will, have information if you decide to jump in and ask us a question. That'd be great. We're going to be here for you and try to pull together all these comments that are very important as we prepare the draft EIS document. We should have had a music soundtrack, though. That would have been a little bit nicer for everyone, just to have a background. I do see some folks that are logged in who haven't offered a comment. No pressure, but welcome your thoughts if you'd like to offer any further comments here tonight.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, it's Ryan. Yes, thanks for joining us.
I guess I do have maybe a comment or question. I seen stuff mentioned about Tom Nance doing a water study for a new source. But yes. One thing we'll be commenting on is the demand of water for landscaping. And so my question to you is how will that, will non-potable source be also addressed?
So that's a great question, Ryan. I appreciate you joining us this evening. We need to go through, as you mentioned, a water source, and groundwater kind of study that's tied to the EIS process. Right now, the university is enjoying its water service with the county, and has certain credits and such that are working with the county water system. For the full build out, at some point there will be a need to get to a source and distribution for that. All of those details are going to get worked out in the study, and it'll be a combination of Tom Nance and our G70 civil engineering group. The point you raise about water reclamation, water reuse on the property, reclaim water use is something that the university is acutely interested in. They really want to be a sustainable campus and look at very efficient water use on the project. So it starts with, what kind of landscape is going to be introduced, and then the systems, very efficient water delivery systems for irrigation and such. So we'll need to work with the county very closely on coming up with a program for this. As well, all the new buildings will need to work with the low flow fixtures, and we're often designing towards a LEED standard, or you know, trying to work through all the efficient elements on energy and water. So all of that, you know, if we can minimize the water demand, this goes as well for the existing campus. Well, that will put less of a burden on the county system, or less of a, ultimately a lesser demand requirement downstream. So there's multiple strategies that have to get worked out on the water side. And we want to work closely with the county in that process to make sure we hit this objective properly. So we'll have that study in the draft EIS, and I'm sure before that's completed, there'll be specific meetings with the county to work through these questions that you're raising. I don't know if that gets to your point.
Yeah, it does. I haven't seen any thing addressing it as far as being able to supply, I guess, non-potable water for landscaping needs. But it's usually a comment that we usually do bring up in these types of big projects. But yeah, I figured that maybe I comment it now, then maybe you guys can address it and bring it, put more.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The plan for wastewater is to transmit to the county system and provide the proper conveyance for the wastewater rather than treat on site and have the opportunity of reclaim water on site. Right now, the plan is to work with the county system. And so if there's availability of reclaimed water here, that would be great. The other option is, of course, different, a well system for less than potable quality water, and whether you could use that in irrigation. So these kind of options, I guess, would be evaluated in the water study for the campus here.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, Ryan. Thanks for speaking up, and sorry to call you out here in the list, but
that's okay.
I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have someone new who would like to give a comment? That would be great. Well, instead of just hanging out here, I think what might be helpful is we could kind of bounce through some of the slides that we had. We've got quite a bit of time remaining until 8 o'clock. I'm very glad to revisit some of the, we could go back to the conceptual master plan and pull that up and just kind of show that. And I'm glad to kind of narrate over that and still call for comments as we go through this. Kira can back us up to that slide. Yeah, this is the overall master plan that we included in the prep notice. And again, we have the three different colors on here for the phasing of the build out of the master plan. Again, it's 20 years, we say roughly, and it's a long range plan. 20 years is a long way out. That would encompass, probably a couple different economic cycles just historically in Hawaii, how that goes. So the pace of development that was raised in the question by the neighbors, how fast, how soon, this will take some time to build out. There's several different elements. Again, our first phase is shown in yellow here, and we begin with the lower school, kind of in the elementary school part of it. All of the backbone infrastructure would be coming in for roadways, the water system that would support it, utilities. This middle section of the campus would be the beginning of the build out there with the addition of some dorms, which are sorely needed on the campus, and more instructional space in this first phase, and the beginning of the kind of gathering place, as I had described earlier, the Student Resource Center and the athletic facilities, really great long range plan for athletic facilities on the campus. You can see here, so they would start in yellow with those first phases, and then extending all the way up to Hualalai Road and Queen Kahumanu Highway, where there's plans for an agricultural exhibit element and some storage components there. As the plan proceeds further, and we get out towards, say, 10 years out, and again, the pace of build out is going to vary based on how the project advances with donors to the university and the growth of enrollment. We have dormitories that are being added, expansion of the lower school, middle school, and high school, more of the athletic facilities that would come in, and further expansion of kind of the storage and beginning of the vocational training pieces up in the upper section of the property there. Out towards the 20 years, and the latter phase of it would be the full build out of this. So you can see some of the concerns that were raised in the earlier comments about position of buildings, proximity to the neighbors. We're kind of starting on the left-hand side or the north side of the expansion area and working our way over in the direction of the neighborhood. I wish I had thought of that while Kathy and Kathleen were on phone here. I could have flipped back to this slide and answered that, but I'm sure we'll bring that up when we get into the draft EIS discussion. So these latter phases are now approaching the neighbors to the south side. And again, these distances are significant. You can see the scale on the side, that just every increment bar there is roughly 75 feet in the small dashes to the left. So these are well over 100 feet away in this depiction, the edge of these dormitories from the property line. And then the installation of the wall and circulation road on that boundary, purposefully put into the plan. And again, I would say this is a follow through from earlier commitments. So that just kind of refreshes what is the overall concept master plan here. Most of the folks that are logged in appear to be part of the project team, I think. I don't know if, I know Ryan just spoke. I don't know if anyone else is logged in here from the community that wants to raise a comment. Looked like we had one or two drop out after the presentation and the comments were offered. Okay, well, we'll just keep rolling through kind of a refresh of the presentation. I think it'd be good to keep touching on things. Can we move to the slide that shows the technical studies? Yeah, this is an important question that was raised earlier by the participants in Traffic for One, was a question that was raised. So we do have Farron Pierce, who is doing a traffic study. Again, a very important technical study in this Kona area because of the traffic patterns in the area. And we need to look at sort of near-term and long-term traffic concerns with the build-out timetable that we're talking about, this 20-year timetable for build-out. So those questions will be addressed in here, and we will be looking at different ways for people to transit, not just in vehicles, but people who will be using shuttles back and forth from different parts of the community, walking, bicycle riding. All of those elements have to come into a kind of a multimodal approach to how we handle traffic and mobility. Another important part of this, we talked about the water, and Ryan asked some questions about that. So there will be this study that's done on water supply, working with our civil engineers. We also are going to be going through the archaeological studies that are addressing the resources on the property, and most importantly, preservation plan for resources that are known to exist on here. We have the Great Wall of Kukini that extends along the Mackay portion of the property, and there has to be a specific plan for that, as well as several important preservation plans on the property that will be preserved long-term for protecting those cultural resources. And then, of course, going through this cultural impact assessment that is important so that we address traditional properties for access, gathering rights, and worship tied to the property. We mentioned the biological study where we're doing flora fauna investigation. This property is undeveloped vacant land here that the neighbors are enjoying that presently. It is kind of dry land scrub overgrowth in here, and what we want to avoid is a fire hazard for sure. So protection along that buffer zone along that edge until there's actual build out and of the full campus, we need to make sure there's a fire break along there, and the wall that's being discussed here. But we will have a biological natural resources survey that's done by ECOS to give us an inventory of flora fauna, including birds and any kind of potential for endangered species, none known to exist on the property at present. Maybe some fly over it, in kind of their transit. But from what we know presently, there are no endangered species on the property, plants or animals. So those are all important technical studies that have to be included in the EIS process. Why don't we check out our next slide here before I run out of gas. I talked about alternatives. This is an important part of the EIS process. It gives you a chance as a reader, reviewer of an EIS, to look at comparisons of what's being proposed here and the proposed action for the master plan expansion as we presented it. And the EIS has to compare a range of different potential future outcomes here. It's part of the law on EIS. So that no action alternative is an important one for us to look at. Whether we would do something different in terms of the density of development. Alternative density is another alternative that we would study. Land uses, different types of land uses that maybe are not the same as a campus expansion, maybe another type of use. I know at one time this land was proposed for more residential use in here. That's not the current plan, but we could study alternative land uses. And then of course, the idea of deferring this and kind of pushing the project into the future and not taking action on the timetable that we're proposing here over the next 5 to 20 years for build out. So each of these alternatives will be looked at in the EIS process and documented for review by both the community and the agencies. And our next slide talks about government plans, if I recall. Yeah. So again, there's been a lot of planning done for West Hawaii and the Kona community in there. And we really need to pay attention to that, how this project planned out, the different plans that have been spelled out by the county for the Kona Community Development Plan and the Kailua Kona Master Plan. Those are both very important pieces that we need to take into account when we're walking through the EIS process. And so it's really consistency with the plans, policies, and objectives in how the project is going to complement those and meet it overall. At the state level, those are kind of broad reaching plans and policies. And those are still a requirement that we need to address in the EIS process. So let's see what the next slide offers. And this was where we ended up our presentation before for folks who want to offer comments. I don't see any new callers on the line here. I don't know who iPhone 2 is. Is that, I don't know if that's somebody who wants to speak, but there's no name attached to that. So mystery iPhone 2, you're welcome to comment here. And if you're one of the project team, then that would be fine. You could identify yourself as well. One thing I don't have is a singing voice, so I won't be offering a tune here tonight. And Paul, it's really good to see you this evening. And I know that it's good to hear from the neighbors in this case, and that you folks do have folks that pay attention to community concerns. It's not something new to you folks. So I'm expecting we'll be able to have a session with the neighbors later this year during probably either the publication of the draft EIS or if possible, some other kind of a community level meeting to just hear their concerns maybe more directly. I heard a little bit of discontent with our outreach efforts ahead of this meeting. So that's fair. That's a fair comment. And not everybody has a chance to track all these different project proposals that are coming out there. And sometimes it can be a surprise when it's your neighbor that's having a public meeting. So we'll accept that.
Yeah, absolutely. A fair comment. And it's one of the complicating factors of this COVID pandemic that we're in, that, meeting in larger groups and everything is just very much online and on Zoom and behind masks. And so hopefully we're getting beyond the initial phases of this pandemic. So seems like, the numbers across the state are going down and we're heading in the right direction. So
that's great.
Yeah, we look forward to engaging in a more robust way. Yeah.
Maybe you could give us some highlights of things that are happening on the campus here in 21 as we're emerging, as we're recovering. What's your snapshot of current activities and your look ahead for this year?
Well, of course, everything has to be very, really scrutinized and done in good concern with attention to detail, with the CDC guidelines and kind of every aspect of our operation is kind of under the necessity to really do good and also do our part in keeping COVID as low as possible in the Kona Coast. So with that being said, we are taking measures to begin to start operations again. And of course, one of the challenging things is even doing our normal outreach, community outreaches here, where, you know, you've got to be wise on the one hand and you've got to, although remain engaged on the other. So we look forward to doing that and getting hopefully back to a little bit of normalcy, where we believe the Kona community will be able to see our teams out there in their community kukua shirts, cleaning up. We've done a lot of stuff all over town here, from, you know, picking weeding down Coconut Grove and tidying up at the harbor, to as well taking care of communities around. And as we said before, working in up at the Kalakehe High School, I think Kalakehe is now just starting to kind of re-engage in a normal kind of a way. So we're hoping for our kids as well, our kids, to get back into school.
Yeah.
And we'll be looking forward to that. And so when all these things start coming back online, we can also re-look at our community outreach activities as well. And of course, things have been ongoing, but this COVID has been a really big challenge for many of us. And so, but we are beginning to ease back in. And of course, we have outreach not only here in West Hawaii, but we also have it around the world. And with our YWAM SHIPS program, taking care of the medical needs of folks in different parts of the world, in Papua New Guinea or the Philippines. We're just wanting to start a program there and support that from here. Of course, travel as well has been really, it's been much more difficult to travel.
Yes.
So, but as you know, these medical solutions are starting to be offered, and policymakers are more comfortable to reopen either their states or reopen their countries, then we will be re-engaging. So we're grateful, though, that we can even be open in a sort of a minimal kind of a sense, in a minimal kind of a way. And we're looking forward to getting back to full steam ahead. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for that report. You have worldwide reach, and I would wonder how this year has been such a challenge, particularly in parts of the world that have very limited medical care and, you know, kind of knowledge about how to manage their communities and interactions, as this kind of swept across the globe and many areas not having access, at least in the near term, to the vaccination. So it's going to take this year, I would suspect, to definitely reach many of these parts.
Yeah. And when when our governor and our national government says to stay at home and do all this, of course, our thoughts and prayers are always with those who don't really have a home to stay in, right? So a lot of the folks we work with, you know, whether it be in different areas in Africa or India, I mean, how are you going to have a stay-at-home order? And then you've got to sort of stay at home, but a lot of people are living from a hand to mouth, right? They live off of what they can get that day. So our hearts were really broken for a lot of folks where we have these connections around the world. And it sort of touches your heart as well when it's your own friends and colleagues. And yeah, unfortunately, some of our friends and colleagues are in different parts of the world as well, lost friends and parents, and they have to deal with it in a much more radical way than we would. I know in Brazil, someone passes away from COVID, 15 minutes later, boom, they're in the ground. No funeral, no and nothing, nothing, you know. And so definitely very challenging. We feel like we've weathered the storm okay, and we're still on track with our hopes and our plans for the future.
Yes.
And that's still very much what we're looking at. But definitely been a challenge for us, like for everyone else, though. And when we drive around Kona Town and you see all of the empty stores, you know, down around Uncle Billy's and the restaurants being shut up, it hurts our hearts as well to see our friends and neighbors here go through such a hard time here, even in town, you know. So here's to hoping that we can turn that corner too.
Yes. No, that West Hawaii community, very dependent on the visitor industry and hospitality, and the recovery is probably maybe prolonged, but we're seeing daylight. So that's excellent.
Yeah, exactly. I did see that. I know it's a little bit controversial about cruise ships. You know, some people love the cruise ships. Other people are like, oh, I'm not so sure. My son looks at the diesel, you know, he's like, But, you know, they keep the downtown alive as well.
And yeah.
I just saw in the paper, I can't remember which one, they were doing a half a year cruise in 60 different countries.
Oh, wow.
And it was sold out in a couple of hours. So I guess people are thinking about doing that again. So.
Yeah. 6 months. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to bring my computer so we could work on your EIS while I'm on the cruise. So
exactly. Exactly. You can be connected in Zoom all around the world, Jeff.
Oh boy. Well, I haven't seen anybody new join our list of participants here. You know, again, I want to put a call out to anyone who would like to offer a comment here for our scoping meeting tonight. I think it feels maybe a bit extreme for us to for me to interview Paul for the next 30 minutes. It may be probably more than we need at this point. And in fact, you know, people can still contact us if there's a comment they wish to offer. I think, you know, I'd like to entertain closing it up here at 7:30. We've had a very good session and gotten some excellent comments from folks, and I think helped us pay attention a little bit more to outreach ahead of any kind of future meetings like this, just to make sure the word gets out. Again, who knows how we would have been treated tromping through a neighborhood saying, come to our meeting, or that sort of thing. These days that may not be so welcome, but we hear the comments, and they were good input. So with that, I think I'd like to propose closing us up here, 7:31, and any other comments from those on the phone here? We're still a recorded phone line here. If anybody wants to offer any further thoughts, but Paul, any closing remarks?
Yeah, we just thanks, Jeff, for hosting this session, a scoping meeting, and we are really looking forward to working with all our neighbors from the Hillcrest subdivision, as well as all of those in our immediate vicinity, as well as across Kona, in this process, where we will come up with a really great plan that benefits our island, our county, our coast, and enables us to do our purpose around the world. And so we're just really grateful for everybody's input. It's very, very helpful as we move forward to really be thoughtful about how we move forward and that we do this together. So thank you, Jeff. Thank you, everyone, for your input. Really grateful.
Thank you, Paul. Wise remarks. And it's wonderful to hear good news about your mission and your presence in the Kona community. Thank you for all you do. With that, I want to thank everyone for attending tonight's scoping meeting on the University of Nations Environmental Impact Statement And we welcome your comments to come in on email or letter, if you'd like to send a letter. I miss my letters, so send me a letter. And you can contact us anyway. That email address is here on the screen, uofnkona@g70.design. We really appreciate that. So with that, thank you, everyone, and aloha, and have a good evening.
Mahalo.
Good night.